privilege to be here again this morning. Trust you're refreshed. Last night there were some weary faces, weary bodies, but looks like there's some refreshment here, so grateful for that, aren't we? The subject that I'd like to speak about is on homeschool. How many parents in here homeschool today? Raise your hand if you homeschool today. Yeah, quite a few. Very good. I'd like to just talk about this subject, about the value and the privilege of homeschool. I know there's other methods, Christian day school and various ways of teaching our children, but I believe it's a privilege that we have today to homeschool. I believe it's a privilege. It's only in the 60s maybe that some of these things started to be more of a movement in our society today in America, as well as some other countries. It hasn't been that long. Over the years, the method of school, sending children to school, was what was done for many, many years. And through all that, there was a lot of godly men came through all that, men and women. And I'm not here to degrade Christian Day School. But I feel it's a privilege we have to homeschool. I feel it's a great privilege, and I'd like to just maybe sharpen our senses a bit, maybe give us some encouragement. Maybe there's some here who are considering homeschooling, and it's looked very big, or maybe you've been homeschooling for some time, and maybe it's become a drudgery for you. But I'd like to have the privilege this morning to talk about homeschool and the blessings it can be and what the ultimate goal is of homeschool. We're not just homeschooling with, I trust we're not just homeschooling with, because it's a nice idea, but because we have deliberate intentions and goals set forth in our mind. And sometimes those become a little bit dim. Here's a little arrow. I've got a little target here, and in the center is a bullseye. And that's a goal. I'm not sure what your goals are today with homeschool. I'm not sure what your goals are. But I've got some boys. I've got some boys that, they out behind our house, there's some trees and some deer out there, and they like to go bow hunting. So what they'll do is they'll practice and they'll practice. And maybe, the first time in the season, they'll up and shoot, and it might be out here a ways, but they practice and they practice until they can hit the bullseye. Because they have intentions. And they're not satisfied. They're not satisfied with just maybe hitting the mark. Now see, the Bible says, as arrows in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. As arrows in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. And so in the same way, this morning what I like to speak about is narrow our vision, narrow our goals, so that we know clearly where we're going, so that we can hit that mark. And we can hit that mark again. we can hit that mark again. Isn't that right? Our desire is for each one of our children to grow up and to be godly men and women. And have the fear of God. That's our desire. Now, I'd like to just tell you that with that, there are some tragedies around. Isn't there? There's a lot of tragedies around. There are those among us who don't have that clear vision. They don't have that clear goal. Maybe there's priorities that aren't right and various things. And when the arrow's released, it doesn't hit the mark. Maybe that's some of our problem. This arrow needs to go in the right place, doesn't it? It really does. I decided I'd share with you what happened this week at our home. I know there's been floating around, and I'd just like to clarify what happened. But this little arrow right here, just as you see it, was in the hands of our youngest son, our two-year-old, just like this. He was outside playing, and he was running. As he was running, he fell, and this arrow, the backside of this arrow, the nock, the whole thing went into his mouth and back into the roof of his mouth, buried an inch deep. It missed the mark. And when my other sons went, as he lay there and pulled the arrow out of his mouth and the nock, stayed in the roof of his mouth, buried an inch deep. He's here today. Everything's normal. God did a miracle. But this arrow went in a place that it shouldn't have gone, right? It went in a place that it was never intended to go. And so, with all that in mind, as we think of homeschooling, there is a deliberate purpose, a deliberate goal that we have, that our children hit the mark. Isn't that right? Turn with me to the book of Deuteronomy. I'd like to just read a couple verses here. Deuteronomy chapter 17. Deuteronomy 11. I want to start reading in verse 17. And for sake of time, I won't read the beginning of the chapter here, but starting to read in verse 17, and the Lord's wrath, and then the Lord's wrath be kindled against you, and he shut up the heaven that there be no rain, that the land yield not her fruit, lest ye perish quickly from off the good land which the Lord giveth. Therefore shall ye lay up these words in your heart and in your soul, and bind them for a sign in your hand, that they may be as frontlets between your eyes, and ye shall teach them your children, speaking of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Now that is the whole principle and concept of what many of us do in homeschool, is to be able to spend more time with our children so that we can speak with them about the things of God all day long. So we can speak with them the things of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the things that have value, we can speak these things with them all day long. And these things become planted in their hearts so that when the arrows are released, they hit the mark. I'd like to just read. There's a little study here that I found that I'd like to just read concerning homeschool. And I would like to just obviously say this study was not done among, quote, conservative Mennonite circles, but rather in nominal Christianity. But this is what it says. The recently released findings from an in-depth study of nearly 10,000 young adults show that millennials who were homeschooled are less likely to leave the faith than individuals who attended private or public schools. And I'm just dropping down, and I want to read another paragraph here. This is a whole page here, but I'm just going to read this one paragraph. It says, having a strong relationship with a child's mother and father, attending church as a child, and years homeschooled were all clearly positively associated with millennials' basic Christian orthodoxy, broader biblical beliefs, Christian behaviors, attending church, keeping sex in marriage, prayer, not using pornography, satisfaction in life, civic and community involvement, and having beliefs similar to one's parents. That's a blessing, isn't it? That's a blessing. So we're here this morning talking about homeschool. Not as the only way to do things, and yet looking at it as a great privilege that we have to be able to spend that time with our children. The homeschool, the whole idea of homeschool was actually born out of some very liberal ideas of giving your children liberty to think for themselves, to become what feels good, so they're not boxed up in the school system, but giving them a lot of liberty and freedom. It was born out of some very liberal, ungodly ideas. And in the middle of that, there was some Christian believers who looked at the opportunity to be able to spend time with their own children, to be able to teach and to train them. And with all that, we're here this morning with that opportunity and privilege as well. It's a great privilege, a great opportunity. I'd like to just ask the question, do the blessings that come from homeschooling outweigh the burdens of homeschooling? I'd also like to just look at the whole idea of the ultimate goal. Let me just make a couple statements. The ultimate goal of homeschool is to pass on the faith, to help our children become God-fearing believers, and to build relationships with the children that God has given us for a short period of time, so that when they leave our home, when the time comes that they leave our home, that arrow goes to its mark where it's intended to go. That's the ultimate goal of homeschooling. In Psalms chapter 78, in verse 1, I'm going to just read. You don't need to turn there with me. I'm just going to read it quickly. But in this psalm, five times, or it's talking about passing the faith on from generation to generation. And five generations are mentioned here. Listen to this. Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ear to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. Who? our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he has done. For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should make known to their children, that the generation to come, that's the generation that's not here yet, the generation to come, even the children which should be born, that's the children that are not born yet, who should arise and declare them to their children. What a blessing. That they might set their hope in God and not the works of God, but keep his commandments. Isn't that the goal of homeschool? To be able to pass that torch on from one generation to another. I thought about, I had the privilege of having a godly father. I have the privilege of having sons and daughters that also love God. Obviously, my father gave things to me. Christianity is a personal choice. It's a personal responsibility. And yet there are things that I was taught day after day in my home growing up that today have a lot of influence on who I am. But I still have to make my own choice. In the same way with our children. The time, the energies, the teaching, all the things that I impart to them, they again need to make individual choices. We don't grow into Christianity. We don't grow into Christianity, and yet that torch is passed on. In fact, my grandfather, he's gone now, but when he was an old man, I remember him talking about the Lord, and I know he loved God. I know he loved God. I know he was born of the Spirit of God. I know the things that God did in his heart, and it's been passing on down. Let me ask a question now. I sort of skipped ahead there, but do the blessings outweigh the burdens of homeschooling? I realize that homeschooling can be a very heavy burden. I realize that. Today, with where our children are, it's not as big of a burden as it was. And I know, and I'm sure you have talked to many people who are just very happy to send their children to school and get them out of the house. I remember the day our oldest three were a little bit over a year apart. Three boys. Then there's 2 years, and then there was a daughter. But consider with me the responsibility that my wife had, and I know yours, if you've homeschooled, and maybe you're just beginning in these things, the weight that is on your wife, or you as mothers here, what you go through in order to homeschool. And you might ask the question, is it worth it? Is it worth all the responsibilities that you have while your husband is away, working, trying to make a living, and then you facing all these things during the day? Mothers who have a row of young children, there's lunch to cook. There's dishes to wash. There's laundry to do. There's children to discipline. There's faces to wash. There's dresses to sew. There's pants with holes to patch. There's school to teach. There's children to train. There's messes to clean. There's noses to wipe. There's ouchies to blow. There's supper to make. If you have a garden, there's a garden to plant and to keep clean. There's canning and freezers to fill if you do all that. While us dads are working. Obviously, we dads do what we can. We come home, we desire to be there and help. But especially when our children are young, when there isn't older ones to help. You know, these days it's different at our house. But in those early years, when those younger ones are coming up there and there's schooling to do, the question that I'd just like to raise, do the blessings outweigh the burdens of homeschool? Do they? My wife and I would say it definitely outweighs it. There's no comparison. We wouldn't trade it. And yet, reality is, it is a big burden. It is a big responsibility for a number of years, especially, to walk through. So when we talk about homeschooling, let's be real. Let's be real with the responsibilities that go with it and the things that we will face through it all. But I like to just be the first one to say, I wouldn't trade it. And my wife just yesterday, she said, I wouldn't trade it for anything to have that privilege of spending those hours, those days, those weeks and those months with our children. I wouldn't trade it for anything. What will matter most in eternity? What's going to matter the most in eternity? Having some heavy responsibilities for a couple years and then having fruit for eternity? And some of these, and many of these things, we need to make a decision. Are we willing to pay the cost? Are we willing to take the responsibility that it takes to get it accomplished? I think most of us here would very quickly raise our hands and say it's worth it. I need to move on quickly here. I'd like to just share a couple things that have come over the years that I'm going to say are flat spots with some of our homeschooling. And if I say they're flat spots, it's not across the board, but it's things that people bring from time to time, and they say there's struggles with it. And I'm bringing it to our attention. I'd like to bring it to our attention for the sake of bringing an awareness. Because if we have an awareness of some of these things, we can help alleviate some of the problems that tend to arise from it. One is a respect for people. If there's a lack of respect in the home, There's a lack of respect for other people in the church and your neighbors, and it goes in many, many different directions. If children go to school and that was lacking, they learn to obey their teachers. They learn some disciplines there if it's lacking at home. But if it's lacking at home and you're aware of it, you need to just shore those things up. I hear that from time to time, that there's some homeschooled children around that have lack of respect, and that's a problem. Here's another one that's come that I also think can receive some help. Because of some of the homeschooling, there's a lot less interaction between families or between our children, our youth, and there's actually, we do that with purpose, don't we? Because we want to have the influence. And yet, there are some who tend to not have a whole lot of family relations with other families in the church or with various other people. And when the children grow up to the age of maturity and time of courtship and marriage, there tends to be a little bit more of a struggle for some of the things of courtship and marriage and some of those things to take place. I see some of that. And it's simply, I think it's a right thing that we're guarding our children and we're watching over them. But with that, there needs to be enough interaction and enough fellowship with other families. Fellowshipping with others in the church, as well as in other communities, and working together to where friendships can flow. And I say that very carefully because I come from, and many of us have been in schools, and we've seen youth groups and all those kind of things where very horrible things happened, and you know, and the morality has dropped so low, and you know, there are things happening between boys and girls that are very, very much out of order. So I say that carefully. But I like to just put it out there as that there's a need for families to have sufficient fellowshipping among other church families, to where there's fellowship going on. I see that as a lack and as a need. Okay, let's move on quickly here and talk a little bit about structure with flexibility. There are those parents who, for the lack of discipline, have allowed the busyness of life to take priority and have neglected giving their children proper education, which has been a detriment, also putting a very sour taste in many people's mouths about homeschool. I appreciate what I see in many, many families who are homeschooling. There's structure, there's discipline, and all those things are in their proper order. And yet, with that, there can be a tendency. There can be those who tend to be a little bit on the weak side of structure and giving clear teaching and have set structure in the home for your school. And it tends to be that things don't turn out right. And so I'd just like to just lift this up, that in our homeschooling, there needs to be enough of structure to give order and direction and to help our children. Children flourish with structure. A loose, chaotic atmosphere brings a lot of problems. But structure in the home, structure in your schooling can be very, very valuable. I'd like to just lift it up. There's a need for that. There's a need for structure. There ought to be a time to rise, a time to go to bed, a time to get dressed, a time to have your hair combed, a time to have your beds made, a time for quiet Bible reading, time for schedules for school. Those things ought to be in place. And obviously, I say that carefully because every home functions very differently. Every home functions in a different fashion, and yet there needs to be structure and order. There needs to be some expectations so that the children can know what to expect. That ought to be a part of homeschooling. I'll just throw this out. We have a goal at our home to have school basically finished by lunchtime. After lunch, they still have an hour for reading or quiet time or to finish up some things. But our goal is to be done by noon, allowing an hour after lunch for some reading, for some quiet time or various things, maybe finishing something up a little bit, but the basic education to be done by noon. That's a goal that we have. It doesn't mean that everyone has to do exactly what we do. Every home is different. But there needs to be some structure. Structure without flexibility brings frustration. My wife says it this way. She says, be flexible or be miserable. Isn't that a good one, moms? Be flexible or be miserable. See, there's someone that's going to drop by, or the phone will go, or there's things that maybe you had a late night, and it's just a part of life. There's a lot of things that come to interrupt, okay? But within that structure of where your goal is, if there's no structure, things are chaotic, and you'll lose it. And yet within that structure, if there's flexibility, those are goals that we have, and if something comes up, then we just take a little detour and not be miserable. We make some changes, we're flexible, and we keep on going. And once in a while, we'll have a late night. Once in a while, there are things that come up. And if we aren't have that ability to be flexible, we'll be miserable. You moms know all about that. So structure with flexibility is very, very important. Very, very important. You need structure. And yet, don't be so structured that things can't come. If someone drops in and you say, I can't go to the door because I'm doing school. Some of those things, there's a right way to do some of those things. And you have each family to find their own way with all that. But structure with flexibility. Find out what works in your home. But there's a need for both. Within that structure, I'd like to just put in two things that seem to be the very important ones that need consistency. And that is your math and your grammar or language, whatever you call it, your language. Those are two things that are very, very important. This is what we find helpful at our house. And these are just some suggestions. I'm not saying that these are things that you ought to go home and do. And yet, consider the principle behind it. In the whole idea of structure and flexibility, we need goals. At the beginning of the year, we look how many lessons are there in math and how many lessons are there in language. Okay? Or how many pages or lessons. It can be done different ways. Then, you see how many weeks are there when you want to be done. And then you see how many need to be done each week. So every week, as your children are doing school, all of a sudden, there's something came up and you didn't do school that day. But week by week, you know whether you're meeting your goals or not. Do that in the important things in school, to where you pace yourself. If they take off a day and they're doing something else, and maybe in the afternoon when school is technically over, they'll work for another hour and they'll catch up and and everything will be caught up. And you know you're still on schedule. You know, you took off a day or maybe two or three. But, you know, when you did school, they're pacing themselves. You know, for the next 2 days, they worked a little bit extra and they're caught up again. And you know what's happening. If you don't pace yourself and put some structure in there, first thing you know, Christmas, New Year's will roll around and you'll realize, I'm way behind. My school, you know, it'll be midsummer, it'll be late till I'm done with school. Pace yourself. Look at how much needs to be done on a weekly basis. Pace yourself. There's different ways of doing that, but those are just some thoughts. Now look at what you need to do. In our home, those are the two main ones. And normally, there's other things with history and various things that are included with all that. But some of the other things we might lag for a while, and then when it gets real cold outside, we'll add more to that. When it gets cold, we'll do more of some of the other subjects. There are many ways that you can handle your situations. But be careful. In homeschool, it's easy to allow that structure to just fall flat to the ground, and your children end up suffering because of it. They end up not getting the proper education that they should be receiving. Every family needs to find what works for you. Here's some goals in teaching. Spiritual input, Bible memory. Do you have goals? Do you have specific goals? This ought to be at the top. Bible memory. Bible teaching. Some kind of Bible in your whole school structure. They ought to be learning how to walk with God. They ought to, when things happen in the home, all of a sudden something happens and there's frustrations and everything's sort of a mess, and mom gathers the whole children, all the family together, and says, hey, let's just pray. They all pray together and ask the Lord for help because things just went haywire. And then everything's good again, and you go on your way. See, those things are a part of daily walking. The children learn to walk how we walk with God. They learn those principles, those concepts. They need to learn how to not only have their little, quote, quiet time, but how to, day by day, be talking to God, bring God into everything, every avenue of life. There ought to be a goal to teach our children respect for older people, and also a respect for people in general. There's so many in our society today, and it creeps into our churches, where there's just total disrespect. Children don't care about anything. It's all about me. Children need to be taught respect. Children should learn. Boys and girls should learn. You know, these are some of the goals. They should learn to also do laundry. They should also learn how to full wash and put it away, how to wash dishes, how to keep the house clean, how to do gardening and chores if you have some. Children, now here's another goal. Children should be taught diligence. how to when they're given a job that they keep on working even when they don't feel like it, and they keep going. It's amazing when you bring young men on the workplace, you can immediately tell if they have a work ethic, if those things were taught at home. You can immediately tell. Diligence. Children should learn to see work without being told. Those things are taught. Children should learn to see work and to do it without being told. They should be taught those things. Don't tolerate whining, complaining, and bad attitudes in your home. Teach immediate obedience. Make school an enjoyable time. Make school a time that's enjoyable. They enjoy spending that time together. You can have some breaks included in your school where they can go play, or they can go run outside for 10 minutes, or maybe even an occasional snack. You get to know what your children like and dislike, and you narrow their life, and you guide and train and teach them. There's special events. Sometimes you pack a little picnic lunch and you go out by the pond, or you go out to the lake, or maybe you take your bikes and you go out on the biking trail and you take them biking. Today we're having a break, and it's time to have some good times together here, and you treat them. Or maybe you take them to the zoo. Just very quickly, I'd like to just make a couple points here. I'd like to just ask the question. I've got four here. Are we reaching our goals? Fathers and mothers, are you reaching your goals in homeschooling? And I've got four. Number one, we see our children walk with God and have good relations. Number two, that they're able to read well. Number three, they're able to do math and do it well enough to be able to get along well in life with finances and all those kind of things. We handicap our children if we don't teach them to where they learn those things well enough to be able to succeed in life. Number four, that your girls are able to cook, to keep order in the home, etc., even when mom is gone. Well, that's pretty general. Those four are pretty general. And I know for homeschooling, there's a lot of variation out there. But consider some of these principles. They're needful. They're very needful. I'd also just like to put in there that there are children with disabilities. And when there's disabilities, we need to recognize that as such. They still need teaching. And yet, if there's disabilities, we need to recognize that. We do our children a great injustice if we keep them home, but we don't give them enough education to do well in life. And among homeschooling parents, there are those who have actually handicapped their children. Their children grow up and they have limited amount of knowledge and therefore not able to do well in life. They're handicapped. Now let me ask the question, what should be done if there's not enough education from parents to teach? There are those situations where there's not enough education or parents don't have the ability to teach. What should you do then? Obviously, there's maybe
various answers for that, but here I have option number one is to invite a girl from church to come teach the children in your home on a regular basis. And option number two is to use a Christian day school. There are those situations where there's a need for some of those things. I need to stop. Moms and dads, my goal today was to bring some courage to your heart and maybe renew our visions and make so that you again have a clear vision. That arrow is going to leave your home one day, and your goal is for it to hit the mark. May God help us with that. Lord bless you.